Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study the biblical books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Lesson 11, Backslidden People. Tainted Temple Leadership. Nehemiah became the governor of Judah for 12 years, after having built the wall of Jerusalem. And then he went back to his king, to the center of the Persian Empire. Here in this green colored area, we see the kingdom of Persia, which was then occupied by the Greeks, Alexander the Great. And here is the center. So Nehemiah went back to this area from here to here. But after some time, he asked the king if he could go back for a moment, just to have a look at Jerusalem, Israel, Judah, what happened there. And when he came back, he was shocked, really shocked. He discovered something. He discovered that something had happened there in Jerusalem. He could hardly believe it. When we read it, they had done things, it's unbelievable. In Nehemiah chapter 13 we read, verse 4, and before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. Tobiah, he was one of the fiercest enemies of Nehemiah. And this Eliashib had given Tobiah, the Ammonite, a chamber in the temple area, a big chamber which was used for storing the tithes, the offerings, the first fruits, so all the material which was used for the Levites, and it was stored there. And no more storing, no more paying to the Levites, but an enemy has now got the chamber to live within the temple. Unbelievable. And this had not done a low person, but the top leader of the priests, Eliashib. So when Nehemiah discovered this, he could hardly believe his eyes. And he had prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense and the vessels, and the tithe of the corn, the new wine, and the oil which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. So, the material which was used for the Levites, that they were supported in their living, this was done away. Levites were not paid anymore, did not get any more tithe. they were just thrown out. But instead of that, an enemy sits there. An enemy of Israel within the temple quarter area. So when Nehemiah heard this, he acted. Of course, he acted. The Levites in the fields. So what about the Levites, the singers, all those who did service in the temple area? They got no more support, so they had fled to their area for a living. What did Nehemiah do? When he discovered what had been done here, he took all the household stuff of Tobiah, which had been in this chamber, where the storage for the Levites and singers had been stored former times. And what did he do? He cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. He threw it out. Oh, this was something. Then I commanded, and I cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. So he makes new arrangements, new orders, so that it is in the same way as it had been before. And he called back the Levites. They had been, in a way, disillusioned. They thought, we are not needed anymore. And now Nehemiah comes back, tells them, oh, the material is here, you will be paid, just start working in the temple area as before. Nehemiah brought everything back to order. He loved God. And what impresses me so much is, you must see, Eliashib, that wasn't just a low person. He was the top priest. And when you are in such a high position, who dares to accuse you that you have done something wrong? Who dares to do so? Nehemiah, he was the one who did, who acted against wrongdoers. Whatever their position should be, if it is wrong, it is wrong. If you are the lowest or the highest, wrong is wrong. And this was something that was needed this very moment. Maybe some other people thought, well, this is not correct, but it's Eliashib. So what can we say? He's in such a top position. Yeah, it's not right what's going on here, but what can we do? He is the leader, not we. And Nehemiah is a person who sees God is the leader. And if God is against it, then I cannot be for it. And he acts for God. And he knows, if we are not careful, if we slid back to those conditions which led to the captivity of the 70 years in Babylon, yeah, what will happen? Again, we will be taken into captivity somewhere. It's high time to stop the wrongdoers. And therefore, he stopped it and threw out all the household stuff of Tobiah. Later on, we discovered it was not the only thing, because when you go on reading, you find out that this Eliashib had done something else. In verse 28 we read, and one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. He had married a daughter of Sanballat. He was the son-in-law to Sanballat. Tobiah and Sanballat, they were the worst enemies of Israel. They had done anything in their power to prevent the wall of Jerusalem being built. And Nehemiah had controversy, conflict, fight with them all the years. And then this son of Eliashib marries the daughter of Sanballat. It's unbelievable. Tithe and offerings. I remember a man, he was interested in the Bible, he wanted to know more about it, and we studied the life of Jesus together in Bible lessons. Life of Jesus, again and again, different periods of the life of Jesus. And one day, when I came to him, his eyes were on fire. And he said, "Wow, Jesus, what he has done for us. He has humbled himself, come down from the universe, died for us on the cross. Oh, he was so thankful about Jesus, what he had done for us. He had got an idea of the love of Christ for us." And then he said, "Well, everybody must know about this." I felt deep peace in my heart. So, what could we do about it? I want to help. I want to support. There has to be done something. How much finances I need to go on with this work. And then I explained to him about tithes and offerings, that the Bible tells us 10% of your income you should give to the Lord. And then he said, 10%? Well, 10%? And I thought, well, have I said too much at the moment? He said, only 10%? That's enough. Oh, he has done so much for us. We must give much more to him. Now, that's interesting to see, isn't it? If a person is on fire, you want to give everything for Jesus. Once, when my daughters were young, very young, little children, they liked bananas so much. And one day, we were on tour with the car, and I bought a lot of bananas for them. I think it was about 15 or so, huge bushel. And then I sat in the back row, we went on driving in the countryside. And then after some time, I heard them on the back row. And then I asked, Daddy, be given one banana from you? Then there was silence. Silence. Their brains worked. Should we or should we not? Should we give him something or not? And in my mind, an idea came up. Now look, I have given you all these bananas, and now you have to think over whether you give me back one single banana when I've given you 15. And after some seconds, they were gracious to me, and I was handed over one single banana. But don't we act in the same way to God? He is the one who gives us life. He is the one who gives all the food to us. He's the one who supports us, feeds us, gives us life, health, and so on. And we, what about us? Do we give him back what he wants us to give him back? Not because he needs this. He has created the universe. One word, and he can create the next solar system. He can produce gold, silver as much as you want. He can produce anything. So he doesn't need our tithe. But we need to get rid of it so that we are not so greedy. That we learn to give, because that's good for the development of our character. And this is the point we have to learn. God is the owner. We give only the percentage, the amount back he told us he would like to have, to test us. That's the reason why. Treading the wine presses on Sabbath. When Nehemiah came back after having been with his king again, he discovered something else. We read in Nehemiah 13, verse 15. In those days I saw in Judah some dreading wine presses on the Sabbath day and bringing in sheaves and loading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem, when? On the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. Another problem. In Jerusalem dwelt men of Tyre. Tyre is a Phoenician city here. So in the north of Israel, and this Tyre is on the coast, Mediterranean coast. So what do these men bring into Jerusalem? Fish, of course, they live on the coast. And all manner of ware, and they sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. These people of Tyre, heathen people, come on the Sabbath day and sell their fish and other things. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, because they had not stopped that. And I said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do, and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all these evil upon us? They allowed things which could never be allowed on the Sabbath day. But they allowed it. The leaders, they were not fine leaders. They did not stop bad habits. They just looked at it and let it happen. The earnest zeal living for God wasn't there. It was with Nehemiah. And just before, when Nehemiah had been governor, he had made an arrangement, a covenant they had made with God. They had signed it. We want to obey him. We want to be with him. And although they had made their signature there, they had not lived according to their promise. And that's the difference of human beings in comparison to God. When God promises something, he stays to it. He keeps the promise. And we? What about us? They had promised, but had done the opposite. And Nehemiah is the one who makes wrong things right again. He started correcting all the wrongdoers. And if they were not willing to correct the wrong habits, then he threw them out of Israel. Either you want to live here with our God, or otherwise you go. And a second reformation started there. What is so shocking in this story, that it happened only a short time after Nehemiah had left the country. He hadn't been away for a long time. And then maybe he had a feeling, I should have a look if everything is going on in the right, correct way. And when he comes back, he discovers these bad habits among his people. And he is so shocked when he sees all of this, because he knows what will happen in future then if they go on like this. Did not your fathers do thus? Verse 18 in chapter 13 of Nehemiah. Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all these evil upon us and upon this city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Nehemiah was so shocked because in the past they had exactly acted in this wrong way. They had been wrongdoers in Israel. And therefore God had allowed Nebuchadnezzar that they were taken into captivity for 70 years into the Babylonian area. And they had not learned out of history. They had not found out the principle about it yet. They did the same mistakes again. Although they had seen of their forefathers what happened in future then, if they acted like this. So Nehemiah is shocked. He knows, only a short time and we will again be where we do not want to be. Because we are so silly in not obeying God's command. So he acted in such a strong way. He stopped the wrongdoers at once. Stepped up to them. That's not what God wants us to do. Therefore, stop it. If you do not stop it, go away. It was needed. It doesn't help just to be kind and friendly and polite. Oh, couldn't you? And it would be nice if you stopped. They won't stop then. If you're too nice and too friendly, why should they change their behavior? When they have already gone into this direction, why should they alter the direction? Only if there's a short rebuke to show them you are on the wrong side. It can't go on like this. And especially that leaders had acted like this. This was such a shock for Nehemiah. How could leaders go in such a direction? Going back to former habits happens very, very often. People find Jesus, there's a conversion, to start with a new life. But then, somewhere, somehow, a crisis comes into their life. And in a crisis, people normally fall down in old habits. They act as they acted before they came to Christ. They are used to it. And because they are used to it, it's so easy to fall into this trap again. Have you taken drugs beforehand? What is easier than that if you have a crisis to take drugs again? If you have drunk alcohol in former days, and then you find Jesus, and there is a crisis, and then there is a crisis, it's easy to fall into the trap of alcohol again. You were already used to it. So therefore, it's easy to fall down there. Therefore, it's so important that we, in young days, you youngsters, do not live in such a way that wrong habits crawl into your life. If there are no wrong habits, you are not forced by them into a direction. It's not a habit. If you have never smoked, if you have never drunk alcohol, no problem. Who would like to seduce you? It's nothing you can be taken by. But if it was a habit in former days, then it is not so easy for you to get out of this trap. Summary. When we learn to know Jesus, and when we learn how we can receive forgiveness of our sins and experience the peace afterwards, we're so thankful. It's wonderful to get peace for our past. It's forgiven by the Most High, because Jesus paid for that the ransom. He sacrificed himself. He died on the cross for us. Now, in this thankfulness, you're willing to start a new life, to start with new habits. Yeah, you want to be a new person. But from time to time it happens that somehow a crisis comes up, appears in your life, approaches you. And then it can happen that old habits crawl to the surface again. I've seen this happen time and again with people around me as a pastor. And then one day I prayed for a friend who always went back into old habits, and he had problems with that. And we prayed, and again he fell into this trap. And then one day I got an idea from heaven, and I told this person, look, you want to live a new life, but old habits catch you again and again. Now the next time, when this inducement is there, do the following. This was the idea from above. You open your Bible, you take your piece of paper, an exercise book, take your pencil, and start writing down texts from the Bible. Copy texts Just go on writing as long as you want to. Do you know what happened? Next time I met this person, he said, I must tell you something. There were thoughts in my mind, seducement was at hand, and I was just about to act as I always had acted, to my habit, to my wrong habit, and then I remembered your words. I opened my Bible quickly, took a pen, piece of paper, and started writing down words of the Bible. Now, what was the result? Only after a few seconds, the seducement was gone. New ideas came, new thoughts. I just went on writing the text. I felt peace in my heart. It was easy to overcome the wrong habit. So I learned from this person, if your old wrong habit wants to catch you again, go back to the Word of God. Start writing it down. It will help you more than anything else, because your thoughts are concentrated on the Word of God. It is difficult when concentrating on the words of God to work and act against the Word of God. And sometimes there are only seconds when you are about to be seduced. Only seconds. And it's so easy in the internet. Just a mouse click and you are there. And even you see all the pictures with the naked women. It's just from one second to the other. But if you start writing down texts of the Bible, you are taken into the hands of your Savior, and He will help you. You are safe there.